back home 6 weeks to the budget. Will the minimum wage go up and by how much? The government is committed to replacing the minimum wage with a living wage. That's at least 60% of average earnings by 2026. To help get there, it needs to go up next year by between 80 cent and €1.20. That's what's understood to be the advice of the Low Pay Commission, and the government has yet to ignore their advice. But this week, employers and the Minister for Enterprise cautioned about the effect of such an increase. Neil MacDonald is with us. He's Chief Executive of Employers Group ISME, who represents small and medium-sized enterprises. Thank you very much for coming into our studio today.
Afternoon, Gavin.
The Minister, Peter Burke, says he wouldn't countenance an increase of more than €1. What's your understanding of what has been recommended by the Low Pay Commission?
We haven't seen anything in terms of an issued recommendation from the Low Pay Commission, and it has varied between €1 on Thursday and 80 cent on Friday. However, we would say that even at the lower amount of 80 cent, that constitutes a 6.3% increase in the minimum wage at a time when inflation CPI is running at 2.2%. So it's very significantly ahead of the
private sector wage increases at about 4% at the moment.
Yes, typically they are, yeah.
How much could your members afford?
That's highly dependent on what sector you're talking about, Gavin. The sectors where which are marginal right now are typically those, for example, we have price control sectors like nursing homes and childcare, where the state actually regulates the on cost to the paying customer. But we have a lot of businesses in the hospitality sector which are suffering, not just because of the huge cost increases imposed on them this year, but also because of changes in customer purchasing patterns. Working from home has altered the pattern of custom, in particularly in urban areas, and a lot of businesses like cafes, sandwich bars and so on are trying to make their annual turnover on a Tuesday to Thursday basis rather than a Monday to Friday basis.
But the government has made promises to workers, promises made by the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar after the pandemic, to protect workers from poverty. The 165,000 people who currently earn the minimum wage, they're largely women, young people, people with disabilities. Why would the government break that promise now?
Well, we're conscious that that has been a direction of travel. You're right to point it out, Gavin, since Leo Varadkar was Enterprise Minister and Taoiseach back in 2022. The issue we would have with that, and we absolutely understand where, you know, we're actually the people that are identifying that as the proximate cause of wage pressure. It's completely understandable. But if we, even if we had the living wage, which would be in the region of 1450 to 1470, if we had that tomorrow morning, that would still, a month's minimum, or sorry, living wage would only pay for 75% of the current average rent at the moment. So what we're saying is, look, we acknowledge that workers are under massive cost pressure, but what we're saying very honestly to them is that, you know, in the absence of government controlling those costs, they can put up the minimum wage as far as they want. All it's going to result in is reduced hours and reduced employment levels. It's not going to work for those workers.
It's also understood that the Low Pay Commission has recommended scrapping the lower minimum wage for younger people. Would that be more feasible if, say, the minimum wage increase for everyone else is kept at, say, 80 cent at the lower margin?
Well, yes, it would. I mean, we have a fundamental objection to doing that, because what it is denying is the existence of differences both in experience and work capability, but also it denies the legislative differences that apply to employing workers under the age of 18. There are controls, differing controls on rest, total work time, sale of alcohol and cigarettes. So it is not fair to suggest that youth workers are in the same bracket as adult workers. And, you know, the public service, for example, recognises this in terms of incremental pay. No one says that incremental pay should be done with, yet incremental pay fundamentally recognises the difference in experience between workers who've worked different lengths.
One of the other promises made by government to workers at that time was an increase in statutory sick days, where we're already way behind the rest of Europe. It was due to go up from 5 days to 7 days next year, but now that's subject to a review. Like the living wage, are you in favour of stalling there too?
Well, Our issue with this is, if you look at the direction of travel of government over the last 2 or 3 years, what they've actually been doing is, despite the fact that employers' PRSI is not reducing, in fact, it's going to get bigger, you're seeing a transfer of the social wage from the Department of Social Protection to employers. But you're not seeing a transfer from the Department of Social Protection to employers to help them to bear this burden. So we know from particularly the service industry that the sick leave entitlement is being availed of, and that's not a criticism of the people availing of it, but what we're simply saying is that represents a cost. And in certain sectors, you know, if in an office a worker goes out sick, the work proceeds for the rest of the office. But if you're in what are called ratioed services, and we represent a lot of people in that sector in childcare or in nursing homes, the law, the state requires a certain ratio of staff to patients or children. They're in trouble when that happens. So there's a double whammy effect for those. And we're saying that that's not been recognised by the state.
Neil MacDonald, Chief Executive of ISMI, thank you for coming into us today. More on this week after this break.